How long was it before you started on your piece work?
Well, not long. You see, they were supposed to go sweep us up, sweeping all the dirt up in the room, but, Annabelle could see I had a bit more brains than that, and I went on bench work first. We used to have a bench, you see, and sit on high buffets, and I used to, what the puts it called, inject Art 9C burners, you see. That was a cheaper burner that came out in 1909. And we used to have sticks shaped a bit, and we used to put this injector on, and with a paintbrush, and we used to put white lead, cement, round the thing, pick a burner up, inject it in, and then put what we called a bottom in. You see, it was perforated for the air regulation, and a screwed bottom, you see, to go onto the little thing that fit in the upright burner. Well, I think we should get about 3 apps of gross for doing all that.
Mrs. Verity, you were going to say something about this Annabelle. You had some problems with this Annabelle, did you?
Oh, yes. there was a new job came up, and this was after the war. And she said, I've come to time you, Laura. So I said, righto. So this was putting brass tops onto asbestos nozzles, you see. You used to put a piece of gauze in with your thumb and then this thing and put it in a machine. And this nozzle had like 3 turrets like that, and it used to fit into your... You used to have to push that up with your stomach, you see, like that, this handle, because you'd to hold your nozzle and the handle beside, you see, and you used to have to push that. And she said to me... She timed me and she says, can you make them pay at 5p a gross? So I said, oh, I think so. She says, well, I'll give you 7p 8p. I says, why didn't you do that before, Miss Bell? You wouldn't have been walking out now. She'd got sack and were going out that day, finishing that day.
Do you remember whether your wages went up during the war?
Well, I know I worked a couple of weeks, 80 hours a week for £1. And girls grumbled that I ought to have... They were earning about £5 a week then. And...
Why was that? Because they were on piecework?
They were on piecework, I was on time. And I worked this 80 hours for 2 weeks. And then these girls said, it's time you did something. So then... I saw the foreman, Ben, and I said, look, Ben, what are you going to do about my wage? So he said, well, I've been thinking about it, and tell you what I'll do. Whatever the girls earn, the top girl earns, I'll give you a bit more. So then I started with £6 a week then, you see.
So you were earning £6 a week?
Yes, then.
Was that about the middle of the war, or was that at the beginning?
Oh, no, it was getting on in the war, was that.
And did you get your war advance, your bonus?
Yes, you got your cost of living bonus. Mm.
Yes. You were living at home at that time?
Yes.
What were your sisters doing during the war? Were they with you?
Well, my sister, she was on the looking after the burner works part, you see, the burners.
And another sister was at Crockett's?
Oh, no, this is the same sister that went to Crockett's first. And had a sister that was a... Well, she was supposed to be an invalid, you see. She'd had ever so many operations. She loved being in bed, poorly. Being in every hospital, she cost a fortune. Being in Sir Barclay's nursing home for weeks and weeks on end. You see, we were a very... Well, everybody knew us in Woodhouse, but they don't now, because they're all strangers, you know. But
you lived in Woodhouse Ridge?
No, there's Woodhouse Ridge over there. No, we lived down Woodhouse Street. Number 72 Woodhouse Street. We were all born there. My father opened that shop in 1885. But they're both there.
And you've lived in Woodhouse ever since?
Yes. It's the grandest place out. Still is, although they've messed it about. But the people, most of them are still there in new houses at the other side.
Mrs. Verity, did it make a difference to the household that you were bringing in more money during the war? You were bringing in a lot more money during the war, weren't you?
Yeah.
Because you were living at home.
Yeah, but you see, we had the business and we lived out of the business. Mother, I expect Mother put it in the bank, saved it, because they were such generous people. I don't think, well, we did earn money in the shop, because there was such good shops, you see. And during the war, I used to go to the market and carry 3 boxes of kippers in each hand. And during the last war, I used to go as well. And my father used to have to stay down there because he was the controller of the fish, you see, in the First World War. And he had to see it was shared out properly among the shops and the districts. And I used to go down and meet him, and he'd pile me out with stuff. That was in my dinner hour I used to go.
On so a you tramp. Worked really hard?
Worked hard.
You were working 80 hours a week, you say?
Yes. Well, I only did it for 2 weeks, but we used to work full days.
Well, I know, because
Saturdays.
They lifted the restrictions. During the war, they lifted the restrictions.
That's true.
And and women who used to be protected were not protected anymore.
Yes.
Mm. Now, did you ever remember that Greenwood and Batley were prosecuted by the Home Office?
Yeah.
For working their women 82 hours a week?
A week, yes. Mm. Well, that's how I got to, I said I'm not working. But you see, I was on nights then. And if ever anybody said to me, I'm going to work on nights, I used to say, don't. You've never worked on a night, have you? Oh, it's terrible. At 1 o'clock in the morning, I used to just go like a piece of ice.
Cold?
Yes. And you see, on all these machines, any cutting machines, you had to use oil and water. And it used to be frozen in winter, you see, and you had it to crack up. Well, you couldn't bear. And there was a girl called Maggie Adley used to work with me. She was a right card. They all went to New Zealand after the war. And her and I used to go into my sister's office. She had an office, but I didn't have an office, you see, because she was like in with a firm. And we used to get all the girls' coats and make a bed. Go have a sleep on them. We were fortunate, you couldn't get warm, terrible. And you know, you used to have to trail outside if you wanted up to the canteen. And all the time I worked at Bray's, a girl wasn't allowed to have a drink inside, but the men could mash a cup of tea.
Why were the girls not allowed?
Well, I expect there were too many of us, you see, but you see, there weren't as many.
You were not allowed to make tea at work?
No, not in the room where you worked. You could only get one at lunchtime. You couldn't get one in between times. You were like school kids. You went up for your tea when you worked over, you see. You took your own sandwiches and you had to queue up to... You put your tea and sugar and Swiss milk, or a bottle of milk you took with you, into a mug, you see, and you queued up to get your tea mashed. And then when you came out, there was a Miss Asquith, they called her, that was in charge of the canteen. And she used to stone steps, oh, horrible steps. I used to be terrified of those steps. And they used to have to pass down in single file, and she'd touch you all on you.
Why?
Because that's what she thought you were. Children, you see.
Oh, she used to touch you on your shoulder like that?
Yeah, like that, as you went down, you know. One Friday night, Maggie Adel, she turned round and she did the same to her.
What
happened then? Oh, it's a wonder she didn't get sacked. She didn't have Slater, didn't Maggie?
But you felt that you were being treated like children?
Well, you were.
Because you were women, you think, or because...
Well, I mean, I was 19 when the war broke out. I was born in 85.
You were not a child anymore.
I was born in 1880. I wasn't a child anymore, no. And I'd handled thousands and thousands of pounds.
Well, why did they treat you like that, do you think?
Well, they just thought you were different. You were work people. That's still going on.
And this Mrs. Asquith, or Miss Asquith?
Miss Asquith.
What was she? Was she hired during the war? Was she brought in?
Oh, she was there before the war in the burnout.
Was she?
Mm.
Was she a worker ever, or was she?
Yeah, she was employed there.
Or was she looking after the canteen, you said?
Well, she was over the canteen, you see, was Miss Asquith. But they didn't cook dinners then, there, you know. They did after, because we used to supply them with fish then, portions of fish, you see. They used to cook dinners, but I don't know who to cook them for.
But
the most ever I got there was my tea mast.
What were your hours there?
Now then, somebody's been asked. Oh, last night I was at a ward meeting and a lady said she worked there during the First World War. We were talking about this affair and she said, what were they 7 to 5? Well, I didn't work long at 7 to 5. And then they moved it 7:30 to 5, you see. And then hour for lunch. But during the war, we did get a 10-minute break, you see. Well, they had to give you it, if you remembered. Well, you won't remember First World War.
But I have read about it for breakfast.
Well, yes. Well, a break in between the morning. But you used to take... I used to go late and I used to take a bag with me to work. We always had plenty of food. I've had a good life. I've had a good living. I've had the best of everything. I always say I was brought up on lobster and caviar. I know about all kinds of food and I love food and I love lobster. But I don't like caviar. I'd rather have a bit of herring roe any time than caviar.
But Mrs. Verity, you at home you were never short of food, is that right?
Yes. Well, we had it, you see, with the poultry and the fish. Yes. Look, I used to sell fresh salmon at 6p a pound.
But Mrs. Verity, what I want to ask you is this.
Yes.
Your father was a middling, well-off businessman, wasn't
he? Yes, yes. And well, he left a nice bit of money, you see, as well. You see, he invested.
But when you didn't get your scholarship to be a doctor, he wouldn't have paid for your education.
Well, you see, they were stupid, were a lot of parents in those days. You see, up 5 years later, he would have said, you see, then it was too late, you see, But I was always a good scholar, always top of the class. My schoolmate lives at number one at the other side. And it was always Ethel Sixton, they called her, or I, who was top of the class.
But your mother, she didn't want you to become a doctor?
Oh, she would have done, yes, my mother would have done.
If you had got your scholarship, but they weren't prepared to pay for it?
No. Well, I mean... You see, there were three had gone before me and they all wanted to do something. Now, my eldest sister went to dressmaking. That was the best she could aspire to, you see, dressmaking. But, you see, she had a long way to go. I think she only got about 2 shillings a week, you see, an apprentice. She was up Chapeltown, when Chapeltown was a lovely district then. And her eyes failed. I'll tell you how stupid they were. When she was at school, she used to have to sit in the front row because she couldn't see the blackboard. And the headmistress said to her, "Will you go home, Grace, and tell Mother that..." You see, all the teachers knew, because my mother went to the school, Woodhouse. "Tell Mother that you need glasses." And my granny was in, my father's mother was in the house, and she went, came in, did Grace, and she says, "Miss Brady says I need some glasses." So my granny, "How old is she?" says, "Need glasses? Nobody in our family's ever worn glasses, you see." So Grace couldn't have her glasses, you see, because nobody else had ever worn glasses. These are the things that intrigue me, you know. So she was older, you see, when she had to have glasses, when she went to this dressmaking and couldn't see, you see. And she was a lovely person.
Grace?
Yes. Mm. You see, my father, there was... I'm putting it off now. My Uncle Fred. That's a piece of handiwork that my father's youngest brother did.